time for the Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander.
Who I'm tipping is a very proud Panther on this Monday morning. Good morning to you, Brandy, and congratulations to you and the club.
Yeah, Matty, fantastic. Really was. And that win against the Melbourne Storm was against all the odds. There was plenty against the Panthers. Not many liked them. Melbourne, fresh, fully fit. The absolute best team available to the Melbourne Storm was there for Craig Bellamy on Saturday afternoon. And Penrith looked busted. They'd had a tough win against the Eels the week before, and not many liked them. That was, and I said pre-game, Matty, before the game got underway, Penrith had played in four grand finals. I thought that game against Melbourne on the weekend was the biggest game in the club's history, apart from those four grand finals. Two wins, two losses in those grand finals, but it seemed like the result was almost like a two-year effort. I couldn't go away from what happened in 2020 and what was happening or about to happen in 21. That incredible run that the side went on to make last year's grand final. They won 17 going into the grand final last year. They were beaten by the Melbourne Storm and beaten, 22-0 at halftime, 26-0 just after halftime. Got back to 26-22. But lost the grand final. But then they turned it around and won the opening 12 games of this season. So I couldn't separate the two seasons, and it seemed like whatever happened on Saturday afternoon at Suncorp Stadium, it was the two seasons rolled into one. How could you go through 2 years where you were beaten in the 2 years only five times through the regular season? Five losses through a regular season. And if you bowed out then, if you bowed out in the prelim final and didn't even get a chance to have another crack at a premiership, that would have been hugely disappointing. So that I thought that was one of the best victories for the Panthers in their 55-year history. It was against the odds win, which allows them now to have a crack at the premiership that they couldn't grab last year.
And it was a cracking game of football. Two very different games of footy that we saw across Friday and Saturday. Very similar to the week before, wasn't it, Brandy? With Manly and the Rabbitohs, then Melbourne and Penrith. Analyse those in just a sec. But I want your thoughts on grand final week. You know what it's like. It's going to be very different for these players under lockdown here. And obviously they're up there in Queensland. But what is it about grand final week on reflection that you would say to these young guys who are there for the first time, maybe the second, to soak it up, to enjoy it, how different it is?
It's Matty, look, it's different second time around for the Panthers. They were there last year, so it is completely different from the excitement of making a grand final, in 2020 for the Panthers players, and they were young, and they're still a very young side. It's business-like now. It's we've got a job to do, and we need to refresh. We need to, make sure we're 100% fit. And they've had a couple of tough games. For South Sydney, they've got a young side as well. 2014 was Adam Reynolds was there. Was there anyone else running around in that 2014 side that won the premiership? Alex Johnston. There we go. So a lot of those players are experiencing grand final for the first time. So both clubs are feeling a little bit different in terms of the game and, what they need to do when it rolls around on Sunday. But it is an exciting week. You sort of float through the week. It's remarkable how sharp, and not that you do that much training, but you hit the field, do a little bit of ball work. And I'd be surprised if Penrith trained at all, really. Like after the grueling 2 weeks that they've had, actually 3 weeks, because the Souths game in week one was a tough game. It was a low-scoring affair. 16-10, 8-6 against the Eels, 10-6 against the Melbourne Storm. I don't think they'll do much at all. And they'll have a captain's run and it'll be sharp. And that's what you notice about your ball sessions. Not that you do much. You're ready. You're like, you're firing. And despite what Penrith physically have gone through, and I'm not sure about the fitness of a few of the players, the excitement of grand final week will have them feeling good. By tomorrow, they'll be over what happened against Melbourne on Saturday. They'll be ready to go, and It's a magical week, that's for sure.
Well, what about the Rabbitohs then? How do you think they attack this week? They've had the week off throughout the finals. Of course, Penrith have had to go bang, bang, bang to get there. What do you think Wayne Bennett's Bunnies do this week?
Yeah, well, they're fresh, aren't they? They're fresh, and I don't think there's many injury concerns for the Bunnies. And, you know, what a job they've done to get there without Latrell Mitchell, who, you know, I just don't think they've got it in them. They then turned around and beat Penrith week one of the finals to give themselves a rest and throw a bit of a spanner in the finals theories that most had. Wayne Bennett will just have them believing that they can repeat and replicate what they did in week one of the finals, that they can defend Penrith out of the game. And that's exactly... They've got the points in them, Souths, with Adam Reynolds and Cody Walker. Blake Taft's been very good for them. Cameron Murray, Damien Cook. With those players and Dane Gagai on the edge, you know, they've got enough points in them. You know, can Penrith stop them? Can Penrith stop them scoring enough tries, enough points, and beat them? But Wayne will have them knowing exactly what sort of game will beat Penrith, and they will need to put as much defensive pressure on the Panthers as they did in week one of the finals and do it for 80 minutes like they did in week one of the finals. They just need to replicate that performance.
Bit of concern, it seems, around Adam Reynolds and the groin, and it's keeping him away from the kicking duties. But I heard Cam Smith say to Vossi this morning, and I'm sure you'd agree, it's a grand final. Grand final's a grand final. If he has to kick in a GF, he will kick. Can you see any dramas for Adam Reynolds this week?
No, wasn't that? That was strange how that played out. No one really knew what was going on. No one was sure. And I called the game with Warren Smith, and after a couple of kicks, I got a text message. Actually got a text message off MG, who said Adam Reynolds has just done a fitness test. And I didn't have time to talk to him. Kickoff was happening there and then. And I said to Woz, let's keep an eye on Reynolds. I'm not sure what's happened there, but there could be a bit of drama. Channel 9 weren't reporting it. They weren't saying anything about Adam Reynolds not kicking. And then all of a sudden, Cody Walker came up with the first two kicks. So we started to speculate about there might be a problem here with Adam Reynolds. And when in the 13th minute, when Blake Taff took the conversion, we knew that there was a problem with Adam Reynolds. Still weren't sure exactly what it was. And it wasn't to midway through that first half that we got some information that it was a groin problem. But, Matty, he started kicking the ball late in the first half and then kicked in the second half. So I was thinking, well, if there was a problem, he's warmed it up and it feels good now. And I'm sure that will be the case come Sunday. He's got a week to recover. They won't push him. And I would be surprised if he's not goal-kicking come grand final day.
What about MG, the news hound for you? I thought he was starting to... texting you for some kicking advice there. That would have been would have been a worry. But big games lead to big players and vice versa, don't they? So the Rabbitohs will be looking towards Adam Reynolds as much as they can this week. How do you think Latrell Mitchell's going to see this week from the sidelines? It's a tough week for him.
Yeah, it's torture for Latrell. It'd be terrible. You know, he's there with them, and you know he'll go through the week and the build up with the team, but he just won't run onto the field. You know, he won't take part in it. So that hurts. You know, and I saw some comments from Blocker. Blocker's Mr. Grand Final. You know, and it's something that you just don't get over it. You know, it's always there. So, you know, Latrell will no doubt play a big part in their preparation and, you know, chatting to Blake Taff and making sure that he feels comfortable. And, so Latrell will play his part with the team as they build up for the game on Sunday, but just won't be out there. And that will be very difficult for Latrell to cope with, I would think.
0457 736 736 is the text line if you'd like to join the conversation today as we kick off grand final week with Greg Alexander. The Monday means test thanks to UPIN Property. Dream it, find it, UPIN it. We'll cover the coaches' mind games coming up, some concussion issues, and I'd like to get your thoughts on the two teams that went out the back door on the weekend, Manly and Melbourne. This is Mornings with Matt White on 1170 SEN. And the Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander, thanks to UPIN Property. Dream it, find it, UPIN it, Australia's first seeking property market app. You can download it now. So, Brandy, ahead of us, we have another fascinating matchup in the coach's box here. They've already gone through round one, and here they go again. Ivan Cleary against Wayne Bennett. Now, Wayne Bennett's into his 10th grand final. He's already become the first coach to win at three different clubs, and he could do so here in the first coach to take four clubs, different clubs to a grand final. Not bad for a bloke who doesn't have a job next year.
Well, he's incredible, isn't he? You know, and it started back in the late 80s, mid-80s with Canberra. Got them to a grand final with Don Ferner in 87. They went down in that final grand final at the SCG, last of the GFs there. And then had, you know, enormous success with Brisbane. Was it six premierships with the Broncos, I think, and the Dragons. Newcastle got them to a final series. Not much joy there. Went back to Brisbane and had a, you know, massive falling out up there in Brisbane and was showing the door. And then the Bunnies gave Wayne an opportunity and, you know, he's got them to two prelim finals in 20 and 19 and then the grand final this year. He's, you know, well, he's got a record like, I think it's only Craig Bellamy that sort of, you know, comes close in terms of records. It's pretty impressive career from Wayne.
It's extraordinary. Are there two Wayne Bennetts that you see, Brandy? Do you see the Wayne that plays out in the media with the smirk and the mind games, and then there's the Wayne that has this fierce loyalty from his players that love him?
Yes, you know, and it's interesting talking to the Souths players at Origin time, you know, when you try and just, well, you just throw a couple of questions out there, because I only know Wayne really as the media Wayne. I've had nothing to do with Wayne Bennett. Haven't been coached by him. You know, I know I've come up against Wayne coached teams in the 90s, but I don't know Wayne, and I only know what I hear about Wayne from players or past players. And when you ask the current mob about, you know, Wayne's involvement, they say, hey, look, he just floats in and out. You know, sometimes we don't see him for a while. And but that's the management of Wayne. You know, I'm sure that, you know, he leaves the on-field stuff, or a fair bit of it, to the assistant coaches, cutting up tape, getting vision of other players. That Wayne just deals with the players himself and as them as people, not necessarily as players, but that rapport that he has with his players, and it doesn't matter which club he goes to, he has the same rapport with his players. That rapport is so important and sometimes so different to what other coaches offer players. And sometimes that's what they're looking for. They're looking for someone to talk to, someone that believes in them. And if you have someone believing that they are a certain player, or they are, you know, he puts players up and has them believing that maybe they're better than they actually are. But then that's what coaching is about, making a player believe that he belongs and that he is good and that he is wanted and needed. And sometimes that is the difference between, you know, a performance that is, you know, a 7 out of 10 performance, or someone putting in a 9 out of 10 performance, and you get a whole side doing that, and all of a sudden you've got something special. And that's what, you know, Wayne got them to believe that, you know, the defense, that big games are won on defense. And that's exactly what they did to the Panthers in week 1 of the finals. He had them believing that the key was defense, not scoring tries, which is sometimes, it's easy to focus on that when you're so successful at just that.
Andrew Webster and I spoke last week, Brandy, about the greatness of Craig Bellamy. Now, he's done it all with the Melbourne Storm, obviously. Do you think Bennett is the greatest ever coach for what he's done and what you've just mentioned across various clubs throughout various eras with different players?
Well, it's just hard to argue with the record, Matt. That's, you know, when it comes to it, and longevity, the ability to stay relevant as, you know, a is he 70, Wayne? Like, you know, he's been in the game so long. So the ability to stay relevant and more than relevant, you know, the ability to stay on top of your craft, and, you know, and he is a coach. You know, there's different types of coaches, but he, his type of coach has shown that you can endure through difficult times. He did have a great team at Brisbane, but he's shown that, you know, he can come into a club like the Dragons and just make it happen. It was so close to happening, but they just needed someone like Wayne to come in and have certain individuals in that Dragons lineup believe that they were the best. And that's what he did. They win a comp. And he's doing that at Souths now.
Amazing. Absolutely remarkable. Now, you don't know Wayne that well, but you certainly know Ivan Cleary. So what has Ivan got to do this week to stay on his course, to not get caught up in the wash and the wake of Wayne, because he'll try and put him there?
Yeah, no, I think the Wayne and the Ivan thing's been played out. I don't think there'll be much gas in it, you know, during the week. And Ivan said in his presser after the game that he said, look, I'm going to do what I do well, and that's stay in the background. So that's what Ivan will do this week. You won't hear much from Ivan, I wouldn't think. He'll just get his players ready. And you know, same as Wayne, will have his team believing that they're the best and they can get the job done. Ivan will be doing that as well. And as I said, Matty, when you come into a grand final week after losing a grand final, it's got its business like. It's, you know, and I would say at the end of the 80 minutes on Sunday, if Penrith do happen to win, you'll say, well, what's the emotion? It'll be relief, because you don't want to let another chance go by. And everyone speaks about premiership windows. I don't know if, you know, the premiership window is closing for Penrith. I wouldn't think so. But we know how hard it is to get to a grand final. It's so hard to get to a grand final. It's such a long year, and so much can happen on field, off field, origin period. There is so much injuries. There's so much that can happen through a season that can derail your season. It's so hard to get to a grand final. And you just don't want to miss that chance of grabbing a premiership. South will be thinking the same thing. Adam Reynolds will move on at the end of the year. Wayne Bennett moves on. You know, South will be thinking, this is it. Do not waste this opportunity. It mightn't come. We mightn't get the opportunity again. It mightn't roll around next year. Things mightn't fall into place. We might miss Adam Reynolds that much and Wayne Bennett that we just don't get there next year. So both clubs will know that the opportunity has presented itself. Don't miss it.
What you say about Wayne Bennett and belief is so true as well when you think of somebody like Benji Marshall. I mean, there's a player that Wayne said, come on, come to us. You can play a role in this. And here he is. He could well go out of his career if it is going to be his last game as a premiership winner again. Sean on the text line says, going through the team that South sent out on Friday night, unbelievably 8 players out of that 17 joined Souths after being unwanted by their previous clubs. What a coaching performance. So Bennett v. Cleary is going to be one of the highlights of the week. Ivan, like you say, will be doing his best to stay in the background. A lot of focus on Nathan Cleary as we approach the 9:30 news. Have your say on that, 0457 736 736. I'll get Brandy's thoughts on the pivotal half, obviously, for the Penrith Panthers. Can he stand up? Has that shoulder got one more match in it? Time for the news. Thank you, Adam. Looking forward to that. And, of course, Jimmy Smith coming your way from 12 today. So we'll catch up with Jimmy before he takes over from 12 through till 3 right here on 1170 SEN as grand final week gets underway. Let's go straight to the open line, 1300 01 1170. The Rabbit from Paddington has called in. With a name like that, Rabbit, I think you've got a vested interest in a question for Brandy. Well, go for it, mate.
Boys, this is very difficult for me, but Brandy, imagine you Tuesday night, you're sitting at home playing just Nintendo, very bored. You get a no caller ID come through. You're reticent to answer it, but you do. Mm. And on the other end of the phone, it's just, Greg, he said, it's Wayne Bennett. He said, JD and I come down with COVID.
Yeah.
He said, we've rung around, Gus can't do it. Mm. He said, can you coach a Rabbitohs for me for the weekend? There's $6 million in it for you to win it.
Ooh, okay.
He said,
now you're talking,
just get
Rabbit.
The tactics, whatever it takes, Greg,
yep.
I need you. Beat the Rabbits. It's up to you. Can you do it for me? Sure. How are you going to do it?
Okay, so the $6 million's deposited in the bank, whether win or lose. So I get that no matter what. So I'm taking it on, Rabbit, and
take it on. Yeah.
The first players that I have a discussion with, the players that I think can set the win up for us, were those that did the job back in week one of the finals. And Tevita Totola, Tom Burgess, Mark Nichols, Cameron Murray beat Penrith in the middle comfortably.
That You've got opened... no morals here, have you, Greg?
No. $6 million in the bank. I'm just
morals are straight out the window.
I'm a gun for hire, Rabbit. So
you're not thinking.
And I'll probably tell you nothing that you don't know anyway. So, I'll be giving away no trade secrets. And then off the back of the platform that Tom and Tevita and Cameron Murray lay, and Jai Arrow. That frees you up, and that allows Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds to come into the game. The pressure defensively that needs to be applied is obviously on the halves. You know, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary, and I thought
pick the weakness.
Yeah, well, I'm giving you what I, you know, I've already got the $6 million, so I can say anything at the moment. Like it's I can just make it up. But
it's not good value here so far.
Yeah, well, it does. The Rabbit, it doesn't matter.
Money's
it's
in the bank,
mate. So the speed of the South defensive line in week one of the finals was what set the win up. And there was South Sydney jerseys arriving in numbers. Whenever Penrith threatened to break open South, there was always plenty of jumpers there. So if they defend with the intensity and the speed, they'll make it tough for Penrith. That there's no doubt. Right. Anyway, that's the end. That's the end of the lesson now, Rabbit. I'm leaving. The money's in the bank. Thank you.
Good on you, Rabbit. Hey, thanks for the call. That's one of the most finely crafted bribes I've heard. Going in search of scruples here on a Monday morning in grand final week. I don't think you'll find them, but Brandy's happy, and he's now left the radio station with $6 million in his kick as well. That's a really good way of doing it, isn't it? By the way, can you help us? Can you help to beat our own team, to beat your team? We'll just put you in the position of being the coach. Keep the calls coming, 1300 01 1170. Now, I say this with all seriousness because I've been watching closely, Brandy. Nathan Cleary, the performances that he has been putting together with clearly a body that's not 100% have been extraordinary. He's a tough character, we know that. But he's going to have to be super tough at this grand final. As that shoulder good enough to get him through?
Well, it's got him this far, Matty. So I'm surprised, and then I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because he's as tough as they come. He is, without doubt, his ability to play with pain and just to block things out is what makes Nathan the player that he is. And I think that's why he played Origin so young. You just knew that he was tough enough to handle that situation mentally, I'm talking, mentally tough enough, which then leads to a body that becomes tough enough to play. You know, there's no chinks in Nathan's armour. He's such a good player and deserves so much credit for what he's been able to do, because that one arm is hanging. It's literally hanging. It's strapped onto the side of his body. He was always confident, and the medical staff, I guess, around him through the 6 weeks that he had off, getting that shoulder getting that shoulder ready to play the final month of the regular season. He came back in round 22, then played the month and has now played three finals games. And, you know, his performances, so much rests on Nathan's shoulders. The ability of Penrith to win, there's not one player in our lineup that is more important than Nathan. Although, you know, Isaiah Yeo's certainly putting his hand up in terms of, you know, what he means to the side. But Nathan's effort just to be out there on the field has been superb. And you know, one more to go. He'll be right. I don't know whether, you know, he gets through unscathed, but he'll be out there, Matty, and he will. I'm pretty sure he's staying in Queensland to get a reconstruction virtually days after the grand final.
Clearly being bashed around has put his alignment out of whack too, because after Brian Toto goes over, What did you make of that kick? I mean, seriously, when you look back at it, in the modern game, if you're going to try and get away with that, good luck, because every angle is covered.
Yep.
And you've got a million warriors sitting on their lounges, on their lounge chairs with social media who are ready to tear you apart. You'd never do that, would you?
I tried it a number of times. And tell me a goal kicker that hasn't tried to just fudge a little bit, especially when the try's scored in the corner. And as Nathan was running in to kick that ball, I thought, what's different? What is different about this picture? And it wasn't until, you know, a couple of minutes later, someone sent a still shot and said, look where he's kicked the ball from and where the try was scored. So I don't know how that happened. As I said, I've tried it a number of times, being, you know, the years that I did goal kick. I wasn't a, you know, goal kicker throughout the 16 years I played. But the couple of times that I did try and fudge it, the referee, I say, hey, come on, what do you think you're doing? Get back out there, taking another meter that way. So it never worked. But Nathan got away with it, but missed the kick. Might have been karma.
He might have got it if he took it from where he was meant to.
He kicked the first one. Stephen Crichton's try in the second minute was in the corner, and his kick was on the sideline, and that was on his bad side. The kick from the Brian To'o try was on the left side, and that's his more favoured side because he just does, you know, draw the ball slightly back in, but just hung it out there. He might have kicked it if he kicked it from where he was supposed to.
But like you said, when you were trying to do it, you're trying to sneak in a bit. He snuck in a lot.
But he snuck in about 7 metres.
It did not pay off. A quick word on the two teams that went out on the weekend. So the Manly Seagulls first up. That game to me looked as though it was going that way against, or going the Rabbitohs way, I should say, after about 10 to 15 minutes. And eventually they just ran themselves out of puff. The Melbourne Storm, however, was very, very un-Melbourne Storm-like. Can you put it down to finals?
I don't know, Matty. When they got beaten by the Melbourne Storm, you know, we spoke about their finals inexperience, and they've got some young players, very good players, but young in terms of finals experience. Sometimes that doesn't matter, and these kids that are so confident these days, doesn't matter about experience. They just get out there and play. But it looked like it was, and I know we spoke about it last week, that Manly performance was deer in the headlight type performance from Manly. 15 minutes, it was 16-0. Wasn't quite as disastrous as that, the South Sydney game, but, you know, they scored 13th, 22nd, 28th, then right before halftime to make it 22-0. And had a mountain of possession again. Manly just can't, that both finals games, they just started horribly and didn't get much better. It just didn't improve. The Manly were like the Europeans. It was over at halfway. Done at half time. So they've had a great season to make the top four. They probably overachieved a touch, but, you know, can't help but not mention Tom and his season. You know, some of their young players have had great years, but they looked a bit frail. Down the right side, especially, you know, Jason Saab, Morgan Harper, just didn't look like they did throughout, you know, a fair bit of the year.
Yeah, and that was the question around finals, and what it does to you, the kind of pressure it does to you, the length of the season. You get to this stage where there's injuries playing parts left, right, and centre. So there's a lot to sort of consider into the mix. So you look ahead for the Seagulls for 2022 at this stage in terms of signings, no gains, just the one loss. Curtis Sirenin off to St. Helens, Melbourne Storm, Xavier Coates, Nick Meaney, Josh King coming their way, Dale Finucane and Nico Hines, and of course Josh Adokar leaving. So the Storm and Bellamy, Brandy, have obviously been through this before where they've lost the biggest names in the game and continued on their way. But take a look at that. Finucane, Hines and Adokar heading out of the Melbourne Storm 2022 team. Where do you see the Storm? Do you still see them being as...
Yeah, I still see the Storm being strong next year. Yeah. So next year they've still got Brandon Smith, and I know Smith's been spoken about at other clubs. He's able to talk to those clubs in a month's time in November. He's got 1 year left at the Storm, but if they keep him, You know, they've got the spine. Jerome Hughes was amazing on Saturday. He was clearly the Storm's best player, and he's been the Storm's, I think, most consistent player. Him and Brandon Smith, it's a flip of the coin as to who's been best throughout the year. But, you know, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, a little disappointing, Cameron Munster, but there was good signs from him in the previous month. I thought that's why it was, Melbourne looked so ripe for that performance on Saturday. With the form of their spine, Pappenhausen had played great footy. Munster had shown signs of his big game ability over the previous month towards the back end of the regular season and then in week one of the finals. So I think next year they're still strong. Xavier Coates comes down and replaces Josh Adokar on the wing. He's a very good young winger. They'll miss Dale Finucane's professionalism and attitude and just what he brings to the club on and off the field. But, you know, they've still got the core of that side that will make them good again, that will mean that they'll be good again.
Jerome Hughes certainly could have featured in the Dally M mix, I reckon. So we've got five contenders tonight: Tom Trbojevic, Nathan Cleary, Cody Walker, DCE and James Tedesco. We'll take a break on the other side, Brandy. I'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, Brandy's Team of the Year, the Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander, thanks to UPIN Property. You can have your say. 0457 736 736. It's approaching 10 minutes to 10 o'clock on this Monday morning as we kick off grand final week here on 1170 SEN. And of course, it is Dally M night as well. So we'll find out which one of the five Dally M contenders will take home the award. Is it Tommy Turbo, Nathan Cleary, Cody Walker? Is it James Tedesco or Daly Cherry Evans? Well, what about the Team of the Year, Brandy? Why don't we start with your Team of the Year, and then I'm going to get your Dally M winner.
Okay, Matty. Yeah, I'll be in at Fox tonight to be chatting about the five that have their chance to win. Can't go past Tom as the Tom Trbojevic as the fullback, although James Tedesco certainly deserves a mention after his form. The wingers, I would go with Brian To'o and Josh Adokar. Alex Johnston certainly deserves a mention, but the two New South Wales wingers have had outstanding seasons, both try scoring and Josh Adokar his try assists. Fox isn't just a try scorer, but him and Ollam, who I've got in the centres, Justin Ollam gets one centre spot. Joey Manu just pips Matt Burton and Brian Kelly, who I'd have thought had a great season for the Titans. But so the centres are Justin Ollam, Joey Manu. Cody Walker and Nathan Cleary are the halves. Very hard to split Cameron Murray and Isaiah Yeo. Extremely hard to split those two. Boy, back rowers, there's those that had good seasons. I thought Kirk Capewell has been terrific for Penrith. Satili Tupanua had a great season for the Roosters. Angus Crichton, in the absence of Boyd Cordner, stood up and had a great season on that left edge for the Roosters. And Isaiah Papali'i, there's four back rowers that deserve a mention. I think Papali'i's form for the first 15 rounds of the season was the best back rower in the competition. So he gets the nod. I'd probably go with Angus Crichton. Thought he was very good for the majority of the season in the back row. Brandon Smith wins the hooker. Just very consistent. Brandon Smith played a lot of footy, started a lot of games at hooker because of the injuries to Harry Grant, and then ended up keeping Grant on the interchange bench. Front rowers: James Fisher-Harris and Payne Haas. Fisher-Harris certainly, was gutsy on the weekend, and even though he's been a bit out of form, his first 20 rounds were outstanding. Payne Haas was great in a side that didn't win that many games. Christian Welsh certainly deserves to be mentioned, but I think it's Haas and Fisher-Harris up front.
Right, so you got Tommy Turbo at fullback, Brian To'o, Josh Adokar as your wingers, Ollam and Manu in the centres, Cody Walker and Nathan Cleary as your halves, and then you've got... So you ended up... Did you end up with Cam Murray or Isaiah Yeo?
Oh. Don't want to split them.
Okay, I'll give you a double shot selection on that. There you go. You get a free pass. And then Isaiah Papali'i, Angus Crichton, Brandon Smith with James Fisher-Harris and Payne Haas. So out of all of that, with your Dalian and medalist, who do you think takes it home tonight?
Ooh, so in the run in, and you know, it'd be fascinating to watch how it unfolds. You know, Nathan, we know the points up until round 19, Maddie. Nathan's one ahead of Tom, and then Cody's a few back. Cody's going to get hurt by the 3 points deducted because of his suspension. I thought coming into last Monday, I thought with South's 10 wins on the trot following their loss to the Panthers by 50, they then won 10 in a row. And I thought Cody was, if he wasn't the best player in 8 out of the 10, he was certainly, you know, second best. So I was surprised, and he had 3 points deducted. But I was surprised that Cody didn't poll higher through the voting up until 19 rounds. And on 17 points, it leaves him a fair way behind. And he did miss the last game. He was rested for the last game, and Nathan only played 4 out of the 6. Tom will be hard to hold out, even though he's a point behind Nathan. But it will be fascinating the run into the round 25 to see what happens. I don't know. I'm tossing the coin there. I don't. Tommy or Nathan.
We could have a repeat performance from last year. It was close, that thrilling.
Exactly. Came down to the last round. Nathan was pipped just by Jack Whiten. But I think it'll be the same. They might even share it, Matt.
There you go. All right, mate, you've got a big, big week ahead of you. Enjoy grand final week from your Panthers perspective. Obviously, your media commitments are going to be full on as well. Looking forward to our chat next Monday.
Thanks, Matty.
There he is, Brandy Alexander with the Monday Means Test. Thanks to UPIN Property. Dream it, find it, you pin it. Coming up, I'll catch up with Dwayne Russell and we'll chat about the AFL grand final. Big Monday motorsport wrap as well.